KGRGFM, KGRGFM, HD1, Auburn, also broadcasting on K207, AP70, Lake Taps, 89.3 FM. You're listening to The Buzz, and I'm here to remind you, we have no show tomorrow. That's right, I'm going on vacation. I actually managed to take a day off. Good morning, Quinn.
Good morning.
You're back for a morning. How are you doing?
I'm okay. How about yourself?
Yeah, I'm ready for a vacation.
Yeah, ready for a vacation. That sounds great.
First time I've taken any sort of day off from any sort of job in a while, so I'm super excited.
Nice.
So that's going to bring us to our question of the day this morning. What is your favorite vacation activity? Are you one of those people who enjoy going outside and like doing all the hiking and like outdoorsy stuff? Are you one of those people like to stick to the city, doing all the shopping stuff? Who knows? I mean, Portland's got like tax-free shopping, so that's always fun. We've also got your geeky news coming up at 6:20. As usual, we have some sort of tickets. We'll definitely be giving away some Hot Fuzz tickets. That's going to be this Saturday at the Grand Cinema in Tacoma. That's part of the Weird Elephant series. They actually did a really cool, treasure hunt giveaway for one of their, like, one of 33 exclusive posters. So that was really cool. We'll talk more about that in a bit. And again, those tickets are going to be on the 30s. Other than that, we'll see how it goes. Of course, we got your six-pack for this morning. We got your question of the day at 8:20. You can respond to that on Twitter, Facebook, or by calling 253-833-5004. We'll be back with your geeky news after One Dead Away by Middle Class Rut. And we'll see if I can talk this morning. You're listening to The Buzz.
Geeky news. Geeky news. Geeky news. Geeky news. Geeky news.
89.9 KGRGFM, you're listening to The Buzz at 6:20 a.m. Unless you're listening on demand, then it's probably like, I don't know, like 3 in the afternoon?
Yeah, maybe. Or maybe 8 o'clock at night.
No, that's unreasonable. But it's time for Geeky News, and that's where we review some of the news things that are happening that are a little less serious than actual news stuff.
That's always nice.
So, first news story we have, Adult Swim is actually going to live stream Samurai Jack ahead of the new season. In anticipation of the return of Samurai Jack this Saturday, it's already going to be this Saturday, Adult Swim is currently airing the entirety of Samurai Jack online right now.
That's nice of them.
Yeah. It's also on Hulu right now.
Oh, it's on Hulu?
Yeah.
Well, that works.
I think it's on Netflix, too.
It might be, man. It's all over the place right now.
It's on places.
If they aren't streaming it right now, they're probably not making money, because this is kind of a huge deal.
Yes.
Yeah.
A lot of people love Samurai Jack, from what I've noticed.
There's also going to be a chat where you can discuss the show with fans and the show creator, Jendi Tavakoski. He's also going to be hosting a Q&A this Saturday at 10 p.m. Eastern ahead of the premiere. It's weird to think this is the same, like, dude who created Powerpuff Girls.
Wait, he created Powerpuff Girls?
Same dude.
Oh my, okay.
Same dude.
A little
bit more brutal, but yeah.
Just a little.
Next one, Danica, I'm super excited for this one. Netflix is looking into choose your own adventure options for shows.
That sounds rad.
So almost like Goosebumps, but for like Netflix.
That's okay.
How would that work?
Okay. I'm
very carefully?
Yeah.
I want this.
Because it seems interesting, but like I die a lot, especially when I read the Goosebumps series where you pick your own adventure. I'd read like 3 pages and be dead.
I think you're doing it wrong.
Well, Netflix is looking to make your viewing experience a little bit more interactive. Daily Mail writes the streaming company has been looking into making a choose-your-own-adventure style of programming for either a new show or existing programming. The idea isn't new, though, as filmmakers have dabbled in the idea in the past, but nothing relevant has ever happened. So this means the key decisions in the plot could fall on you, the viewer, to decide on how they play out. The story could then shift based on your decision, and then you could go back and watch the alternate outcome. The concept certainly sounds cool, but sounds like a continuity nightmare for a screenwriter.
Yeah.
And, yeah, that's the biggest issue I have with this one, is with a lot of video games, that's the only way they get me to play it multiple times, is if they have different endings.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But I could only imagine making a couple of choices, and then, like, going back and rewatching the season, and then just this giant, I guess, tree of what happened and what did I actually watch. And like when you're talking about shows, how do you talk about that? It's like, oh, did you pick this ending? No? Okay, then I'm done with you. We can't be friends anymore. I shipped Troy and Sharpay, sorry.
It would be kind of like Oh, what was that? Oh, The Last of Us?
I don't know what that is.
The PlayStation game series?
I don't know. My parents didn't love me.
Okay, never mind. Well, they have a part where you could pick your own ending, where you could, like, choose to kill off the girl you've been protecting for the entire game, or hand her over to be killed.
Well, that's no fun.
I've lost friends based on what decision they made in the end.
I'd kill her myself, man.
Next story we have...
Don't let her get tortured by the people, man.
Yeah.
Next story we have some Thor Ragnarok pictures. Entertainment Weekly released Thor on the cover, and he's not Thor anymore.
What?
Like, they chopped off Chris Hemsworth's hair.
Dare they?
And he doesn't have his hammer anymore.
How dare they take his hammer and his beautiful man bun?
I don't know. Like, I'm looking at this cover and I'm like, who is this man? I wanted to thank Matt and Tim for the Not So Much Best show for turning me on to this one. How? He's got, like, two swords, and I didn't even recognize him when I first saw the cover. I'm not as excited about this movie anymore. I was super excited because the color scheme looked great, the posters so far have been amazing, and the posters, he even had his longer hair.
Mm-hmm.
But now in this cover, he's just short-haired little weirdo, and I'm not about that life.
No.
And then last little bit of geeky news for this morning, we actually have a simple geek's guide to free Wi-Fi.
Yes.
Because nothing sucks more than not having Wi-Fi. For example, you can go to your cafe, hotel, lobby, or mall. This one's a little obvious, and we've all done it a million times. You're running around town and need to get some work done, so you just pop into one of these spots, and viola, you have internet. But yay. If it's a big chain like Starbucks, don't feel bad about using their Wi-Fi without buying anything. It's a small, independently owned business, though. You should at least buy something, even if it's just a cup of tea. Or like a soda or something, man. Like, support them, because you're using their Wi-Fi, and that stuff's not cheap.
Yeah.
Next tip for getting free Wi-Fi, something I didn't know about, Foursquare. If you simply can't afford to buy something at a business to use their Wi-Fi, check them out on Foursquare. In nearly every situation, someone has left their Wi-Fi password in the comments. So, like, if you go into a business and you don't want to ask for their Wi-Fi password and you don't know what it is, I guess you can go onto this Foursquare site and possibly look it up.
I'm going to check that out.
You also have Wi-Fi databases. If you're not sure where the nearest Wi-Fi is, you don't have to worry because some other geek has got your back. There are tons of different databases that details thousands of places worldwide where you can just get your digital fix. This includes WifiFreeSpot.com, HotspotHaven.com, and Boingo.com.
Even, like, Facebook has, a Wi-Fi, thing that'll tell you where Wi-Fi hotspots are near.
Nice.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that at all. Well, you have an iPhone, though, right?
Yeah.
I know that, like, Android Facebook's always, like, an update or two behind. So hopefully I'll get that soon. Last one, I've actually used this a few times. You can tether certain phones. There's some stuff that you don't want to do on your phone that you simply need a laptop for. When all else fails, you can always tether your computer to your phone so that it uses your phone's data to connect to the internet. Well, this can be a much slower than regular Wi-Fi experience. And depending on your data plan, it works in a pinch. If you have certain data limitations, it's not the best thing in the world. For example, I technically have unlimited Wi-Fi, but it's only unlimited in the sense that, like, I have 4G for the first 5 or 6 gigs, and then everything after that is, like, 3G. If I need Wi-Fi, and I need my laptop, it works.
That's always nice.
Yeah.
But that was your geeky news on 89.9 KGRG-FM. We'll be back with your regular news after Drunken Sailor by Authority Zero.
Yay.
Breaking news.
This hour's news is brought to you by the Grand Cinema and the Weird Elephant Film Series. This week's Weird Elephant feature is Hot Fuzz. So if you want free tickets, call 253-833-5004.
Yes! Sounds like fun.
Somebody help me breathe through my nose.
I don't know how that works.
Figure it out, Corey.
Well, something completely unrelated to that. The Weird Elephant group, they actually did something really cool. They have this super limited print run of posters, like custom-made posters that they did for the Cornetto trilogy.
Yeah.
they're only 33. I have one of them, luckily. But they actually put one up somewhere in Tacoma. And all day yesterday, they did a scavenger hunt for it. Like, they put clues off on Facebook.
I love scavenger hunts.
Right? So, like, based off of the clues, you had to find the poster somewhere. And those posters are, like, $15, which is pretty reasonable for something that's, again, super limited. So keep an eye out for that sort of stuff.
Cool.
They're really cool dudes over there. Well, let's go ahead and get to some regular news, shall we? For example, our first bit of regular news. Neighborhood approves tiny homes for homeless village. In Portland, Oregon, the Kenton neighborhood is one of the first in the state of Oregon to welcome a homeless village. Residents there voted Wednesday night 178-75 to approve the program. It means tiny homes will be moving to North Portland as soon as next month.
Hundreds
of Kenton residents showed up before the vote to hear from city leaders, architects, and nonprofits. The program is a collaboration between several entities, including the city, Catholic Charities, the Village Coalition, Portland State University, Joint Office of Homeless Services, and Transition Projects. The 14 tiny homes will move into 2221 North Algyle Street and will be move-in ready in mid-April. And honestly, yeah, when I was hanging out with my mom, that's one of our shows. Like, the Tiny House Hunters.
Yeah.
I love Tiny House Hunters.
Part of me is just like, you know what? I could build one of those.
You really could.
And then you can build, like, an identical but even smaller one for Emmett.
A mini house to go with my tiny house?
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be adorable. But that's really cool, though. Like, again, tiny homes are really cool, and it's slowly becoming a more and more realistic idea of home ownership for me.
Mm-hmm.
Like being a 20-something-year-old still working minimum wage in two jobs. It's just like, sort of like, I can either continue paying $375 a month in rent, or I could just build my own house.
I saw this thing where it was like a 3D printed house that only cost like $10,000.
Oh, the one that Concrete that you posted, the video.
Yeah. It was like, I was like, sign me up, man.
Maybe I need to get a 3D printer instead.
Let's just get hobbit holes.
Right?
You can get like prefabricated hobbit holes where they just come build them in your yard for you.
Chris from Waking Things is actually in New Zealand right now, and he put up some Instagram photos of him and like some hobbit
in the Shire?
In the actual Shire. Like, he was in an actual hobbit
hole. I had a friend who went there, and I've never been more jealous in my life.
Right?
Yeah, I've always wanted to go to the Shire, but I'm really lazy.
Corey, let's go get Lord of the Rings tattoos.
Let's do it.
Okay.
Next bit of news, a phone scam involving a fake kidnapping and ransom demand is reaching homes throughout Snohomish County. Some parts of Puget Sound's east sides are also seeing an uptick. Everett Police and Snohomish County Sheriff's Office says a stranger calls demanding a ransom for a family member they say has been kidnapped. A 65-year-old Everett man received one such call on Sunday. He told Everett Police that he heard the sounds of a crying woman that he believed was his kidnapped daughter. The man was told by the caller that if he didn't pay a $30,000 ransom, his daughter would be, quote, left on the side of the road with a bullet hole in her, unquote.
Is it just me, or is that, like, not a very big ransom?
$30,000 for a person? Not really.
No, usually they demand, like, $1 million or $2 million.
Like,
I had someone prank call me like that once, and it is pretty scary, but when you actually start questioning them, it's easy to tell that it's a prank.
Well, when the police responded to the victim's home, the scammer called again, this time only demanding $500.
They're just desperate for money, yo.
So they dropped from 30 to 500, and the only bit of advice I can let people know here is, like, if you don't know the phone number, typically I won't answer. I'll let them leave, like, I'll give them the chance to leave a voicemail. If it's important enough for me to call them back, I'll check the voicemail, call back 5 minutes later. But if it's a phone number I don't recognize and they don't leave a voicemail, it obviously wasn't that important of a phone call. Or they'll just contact me on, like, Facebook or whatever if it's somebody whose number I don't have.
Yeah.
Like, that's thing number one. Thing number two, if you get a ransom call like that, play along, get as much information as possible. We have a similar bomb threat procedure up here. Get as much information as possible, like the person's accent, if they have any, if you can hear where they're at, any sort of clues indicating where they're at, even if they're in the state or, like, in a building, anywhere. Any information you can get to hand over to the police is just super helpful.
Yeah.
And then after you get off the phone, contact that relative, man.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if your daughter really has been kidnapped, call your daughter.
Yeah. And if they pick up and they're like, no, then you know obviously it was a prank, so you can just either block the number or just don't even bother worrying about it.
Yeah.
What?
Or you can, like, check. Like, if they say lift instead of elevator, that's important, too.
Fair.
Even if they don't have an accent.
Last news we have. This lady definitely looks like Mother of the Year, and she's getting the Mother of the Year award. Boy, howdy. A Connecticut mom allegedly let her 10-year-old son drive her car while she streamed on Facebook Live. Lisa Nussbaum of Monroe was charged on Friday with the risk of injury or impairing morals of a minor. Nussbaum, 38, was released the same day after promising to appear in the Superior Court in Bridgeport, Connecticut, 1 week later. Monroe police said that they arrested Nussbaum after several residents reported having seen a Facebook Live broadcast showing a child driving a car on public roads throughout the town of about 20,000 people.
Dude, you want to let your kid drive, like, go to, like, an open field or something. Like,
yeah.
My parents, like, my dad would just sit me on his lap, and, like, he would control, like, the gas and, like, the brakes, but I would just do the steering wheel.
Yeah, like, again, my dad did something similar. He would take all the kids out. We had, like, four-wheelers and three-wheelers. We even had a go-kart at one point.
Ooh.
Let us loose in a field and just said, all right, kids, if you get hurt, it's your fault.
Oh, I drove my dad's Blazer.
So, like, driving vehicles at, like, 10, that was something I was doing at that age. Just, you know, not on public roads.
Yeah.
I backed the car in and out of the garage once.
There you go.
Yeah.
But, yeah, this lady, her mugshot, she looks like Mother of the Year. Boy, howdy. But that was your news on 89.9 KGRG-FM. Remember, if you want those Hot Fuzz tickets, that's going to be this Saturday. We're giving you those tickets for free. Call 253-833-5004. It's a rare opportunity to see a really, really good movie on the big screen. It's also the same number you can call if you want to participate in our question of the day. What sort of vacation activities do you like doing when you do go on vacation? Because you got spring break coming up. I'm going on vacation, so I need ideas. So yeah, just start thinking about those ideas now. Do you like going hiking? Are you a shopper? What do you like to do? It's 253-833-5004 at the Buzz KGRG on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. We'll be back after All My Friends Are Metalheads by Les and Jake. You're listening to the Buzz.
It's time to see what weird and crazy things are trending out there in the Twitterverse. This is Hash It Out, right here on the Buzz.
89.9 KGRG-FM, you're listening to the Buzz. It is indeed time to hash it out, where we take those hashtags trending on Twitter. We talk about them a little bit.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Because it's fun, right?
Yeah.
We're all about fun, damn it. Ah! That energy drink is kicking in. I only had like half of it so far.
Woo!
We are in for a show.
I've had nothing but water.
We are in for a show, ladies and gentlemen. So, our hashtags, if you want to play along, we have hashtag it's time to get over. For example, it's time to get over my crippling depression and just tiredness and pep up with Red Bull.
It's time to get over my McGriddle addiction.
Hashtag already spent my refund on, and hashtag when the robots take over.
Yeah.
Hashtag when the robots take over, maybe we'll finally get some sleep.
Hold your horses. We're not there yet.
We're not there.
We gotta start with hashtag it's time to get over. For example, hashtag it's time to get over here and kiss me.
Aww. Thursday.
That's adorable.
Right?
Hashtag it's time to get over the rainbow.
Fair.
Yeah.
There were actually a couple of times when I was younger where I tried to chase a rainbow. Like, not figuratively, literally tried to chase a rainbow. It doesn't end up well, kids. Doesn't end up well at all.
No, it does not.
You can't chase light. You can't chase light. We have hashtag, it's time to get over the fact that your cat is constantly planning to take you down.
True.
Or just how adorable Emmett is.
Yes. He's so adorable.
I can't come to the fact.
Hashtag, it's time to get over whether or not you were on a break, Ross.
Oh. Hold on, I had something for this. Dude, those episodes, like, post Emma being born are weird.
Yeah.
Like, it's almost like the episodes where Eric's gone from That 70s Show.
No, it's not. I loved every episode of the show.
It's just weird, man. We have hashtag, it's time to get over that fence and leave the zoo.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Hashtag, it's time to get over your fear of pooping in public.
Is that a puggo?
He's stuck in the toilet.
Little baby.
Oh, we're retreating that one. Oh, boy.
Little buddy.
It's just... I actually have a friend in high school who was legitimately terrified to just do any sort of bathroom function
in public.
It's
like that guy from American Pie.
Oh, yeah.
Well, she was a girl, so, like, her whole thing was, man, other people's butts have touched those seats. And, yeah, you can hover if you're desperate, but you don't trust that. Especially public bathrooms,
man. That's not what I want leg day to be.
Let's go ahead and move to our second hashtag. Hashtag, already spent my refund on. For example, I already spent my refund on... Ha! That's a good one. What refund? That's a legitimate concern, and in fact, this year, more so than past years, it seems like, I had a lot of friends who not only didn't get anything, excuse me, but they actually had to pay some stuff out.
Oh, no. Whoa.
Yeah, man, that's a bummer. Hashtag, already spent my refund on, I don't know, my wife hasn't told me yet.
Oh.
Sorry, buddy. Hashtag, already spent my refund on, bail for my family and friends. I mean, if they got themselves in there, man, they can get themselves out.
That's fun.
Yeah.
We got hashtag.
Oh, I can't say that one.
Already spent my money on removing the nipples from my bat costume.
What?
Yeah, you don't know about George Clooney's bat nipples?
Oh, yeah, right. Bat nipples. No.
I mean, he's got enough money to do it, though, right?
No, yeah.
Let's go ahead and move on to our last hashtag. Hashtag, when the robots take over. When the robots take over, expect passive-aggressive commands from prissy golden appliances everywhere.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a thing. I could see some sassy robots. Like, all those sassy robots are my favorite. Like the one from Rogue One.
Yes.
Well, have you guys seen that movie?
Yes.
I saw it twice.
So, spoiler alert, when... the things happened to that robot character. Freaking Thursday almost bawled in tears.
She was
like my baby.
It was
traumatic.
It was. I cried too.
We have hashtag when the robots take over. 00110101000011 will be a standard greeting.
Yeah.
Gotta love binary.
Yeah. Hashtag when the robots take over. The sentence, she's getting lubed up, will have a whole new meaning.
Oh no.
Oh boy. That is not good.
Oh my.
Not good. Hashtag when the robots take over. Sorry, the overlord position is already filled by cats.
It's true.
Kitty.
Hashtag when the robots take over, I probably won't trust my electric razor around my throat anymore.
Oh, fair. We have hashtag, oh, I cannot say that one.
No.
Did you just see it?
No.
We'll show you later.
Okay.
We'll call this our last one then. We have hashtag when the robots take over, my household duties, I'll have way more time to waste. Waste wisely.
Yeah.
There you go.
If you're going to waste with purpose.
Yes.
Like, if you're going to skip class with purpose.
Purpose to get drunk.
Exactly.
But that was Hash It Out on 89.9 KGRGFM. Again, the hashtags were when the robots take over, hashtag I already spent my refund on, and hashtag it's time to get over. If you want to participate in that or our question of the day, you can call 253-833-5004. We also have Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at TheBuzzKGRG. Our question of the day for this morning, we're taking your responses at 8:20. What's your go-to vacation activity? Are you a shopper? Are you an outdoor person? What's your dealio, homie? We'll be back with some responses from yesterday's question of the day after Waking Things down below. You're listening to The Buzz. KGRGFM, KGRGFM, HD1, Auburn, also broadcasting on K207 AP, Seminole Lake Taps, 89.3 FM. You're listening to The Buzz, and it is indeed time to go over some of the responses from yesterday that didn't quite make it on air from our question of the day. Our question of the day from yesterday was hashtag question of the day. What are you still willing to wait in line for? That was because, again, I have seen the light of Uber Eats and ordering food, like even fast food on apps and like having it pre-prepared. Done
pre-buying your movie tickets on an app.
Exactly. So some of the responses from yesterday, we had, again, Bryce Park, his response got on air. Coffee and beer.
Yeah.
Although he says not at the same time, but there's some very delicious, like, coffee-based beers out there, so. Other responses we got were the Locomotivators. I guess they're the Locomotive fan group? I assume so. They said Logan, the new movie that's out. Mike, who's hanging up here, he's a 110 student right now. If you want to join Journalism 110 and be just like Mike, sign up right now. We're taking registration for spring quarter right now, and it's coming up quick. But he actually said, like, that's the best movie ever, period. Like, it's his favorite movie. He wouldn't even talk to me about it. Like, no spoilers or anything until I go see it. So that's what I have to do on vacation now. We also have a little pancake. She chimed in. She said Pepsi.
Little pancake.
She said she is willing to wait for Pepsi.
Of course.
How though? Like, how do you wait for Pepsi? You can just go to a convenience store and you just stock up if you have that bad of an addiction.
Yeah,
right?
But you gotta wait in line at the cashier.
Not at the vending machine though.
Maybe there's a line at the vending machine.
I guess. We actually had some responses on Twitter. Ska Bob says good sub sandwiches.
Yeah.
Now, I think I mentioned this yesterday. There's something that when it comes to sandwiches, I don't mess with other people's, and I don't let other people mess with mine. Like, if there's a sub, I'll take Subway orders, and that's about the closest I will get.
Yeah, you said that before.
Yeah, just very particular on sandwiches. So, I guess technically, yeah, I'm willing to wait for a good sandwich, just to make sure it's mine, though. But I did try a new sandwich place, and this is something I normally don't do unless I actually go in there. It was a place called Pints and Peaks, and this was on Uber Eats. All
right.
And, yeah, I was willing to wait, like, 30 to 40 minutes.
I'm very particular about trying sandwich places, too.
Like, I have to see the sandwich in person first.
Same.
Because you don't know. Luckily, this place had pictures on the, like, on the Uber app, which was cool. But the sandwich was fantastic. Mm-hmm. Absolutely amazing. It was pastrami and pesto. Oh, girl.
Dude.
So, yeah, good sandwiches are good to wait for. I've also been on a salad kick lately. Like,
salads are bomb.
Half decent salad? Not something to scoff your nose at. Thursday actually got a salmon with salad in it. A salad with salmon in it. And I tried a couple of bites. It was delicious. So, yeah, it sounds like food, for the most part, is the one consensus everyone's willing to wait on. Like, good food is not something to be rushed. But that brings us to our question of the day for today, which is, what is your go-to vacation activity? Again, for example, if you go to the beach, are you one of those people who hang out on the beach and just hang out on the sand? Do you build sandcastles? Do you take a nap? Do you go swimming? Do you, like, hit up the beach town? We'll be taking those responses at 8:20. Again, it's 253-833-5004 at the BuzzKGRG on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. Again, our question of the day, what is your go-to vacation activity? 89.9 KGRG-FM. You're listening to The Buzz. It is indeed time for The Situation. That was a little weird. The Situation is where we have a series of, you know, various situations, and every time you make a choice, there's often a consequence to go along with it. So we found some, the internet waited on it, and we'll see how closely what we feel, you know, resembles what the internet feels.
Okay.
Sometimes they're off, sometimes they're wrong, and that's okay. The internet can be wrong sometimes. For example, our first situation is, you win a special lottery, literally becoming rich beyond your wildest dreams, but everyone you love will hate you, and the only people you'll ever care about your troubles will always do it for the money. Also, you'll become ill at the slightest provocation. That's a little weird.
That makes me sad.
So, just, you'll be sick and everyone will hate you.
No.
Although, if...
I've seen, A Christmas Carol, man. Scrooge is unhappy.
Well, there was a show a while ago. It was, like, one of those, like, Dateline shows or, like, CNN or whatever, where it's just sort of like, lottery winners, where are they now? And there's this dude who's just like, yeah, had a soup, like a briefcase full of money, went to a strip club, left it in the car, some dude stole it. Don't care, I still have $500,000.
Oh my god.
Like, how do you have that much money and just not care? And like, his wife was just like, yeah.
It's cool, man.
I don't care.
It's cool.
He went to the strip club, lost the briefcase full of money. I think he lost like $100,000 or whatever. She's like, yeah, it's whatever.
That is a lot of lap dances. Holy crap.
I got my low rider. I don't care. These people just blow all this money on super weird stuff. And they hold off on telling anybody, even like family members. And sometimes they don't even tell other family members. They're just like, yeah, we don't talk to those people anymore. I got my wife. I got my side hose. We aight. So... I think I might skip it just on the whole, like, becoming ill thing. If your friends only care about you for your money, I mean,
no,
that's just
like,
not a friend.
Everyone you love, like, even Thursday would only be around for the money.
Well, she would hate me.
Yeah, she'd hate you.
She hates me now, though.
No, she doesn't.
Oh.
You have an Emmett together.
Yeah, we'd have to stay together for the child. So I'm gonna say no. 75% of the internet also agreed with me. Again, I think it's the whole like becoming ill thing that I wouldn't want to be sick all the time. You could afford just to be like, I guess you could afford to have all the drugs you want, like medical drugs. But
I mean, if it was just being sick all the time, like I'm already there, man. Sign me up.
Alright, next situation we have. After you die, you'll be reborn into a parallel universe as the person you always wished you could be and have a perfect body. But you can only remember the bad things from this life and you will be forced to relive them in your dreams.
Oh.
So basically you have nightmares about all the bad stuff that's happened to you now. In exchange, you get to look the way you want. That always brings up a weird question for me, like, what would I want to look like if I didn't look like me?
I don't know, man. Just let me rest. Let me be dead.
Yeah, that's fair. That's a fair way to look at things.
I just want to go to sleep.
Like, it always freaks me out when people change their appearance drastically, and like, it takes me a while to recognize them. My own dad, he shaved his like signature little like facial hair thing he has going on one day, and he was just completely just baby faced. He picked me up from daycare. I almost didn't leave with him. I was like, I don't know that man. So, just, like, even when Corbin, like, we were talking yesterday, Corbin shaved his head. We were like, dude, where'd your head go?
Get out of here.
So, I'm not sure what that would look like. If I really wanted to look, I guess, healthier, if I wanted to, like, do something physically, I'd just work out, I guess.
When I was 17, I had, like, hair, like, down to the middle of my back, and I, like, chopped all of it off and, like, donated it, so I just had, like, a really short, like, bob, and, like, everyone freaked out, and everyone, like, just kept touching my head.
Yeah, and if you wanted to, like, grow the hair back because you like that hair, you could just grow back out again.
Yeah.
So... I don't know, man. Those changes are only skin deep. I'm going to say nah. 65% of the internet disagreed and said, you know what? They'd like to change their appearance in exchange for just reliving nightmares over and over again.
Y'all ugly.
Like, real-life nightmares. Oh, man. Next situation we have, we'll call this one our last one here. You get free ice cream for the rest of your life whenever you want, but you have to eat an earthworm before each time you eat ice cream.
Nope.
Just nope?
Nope.
I don't know. And this person, there's actually a response on this one. This person has the right idea. They said, I won't eat it, just sell it. So you have all the ice cream you could ever want, right? But what I mean, you're lactose intolerant, so it doesn't matter. You could, again, you could sell it. You could just take that ice cream and turn around and sell it to all the kids.
But I still have to eat the worm.
Well, no. You only have to eat the worm before you eat the ice cream. So if you don't eat the ice cream, you don't have to eat worms. And then you could just stick with gelato, because gelato is way better.
Gelato.
Dude, there's this gelato place in Tacoma we need to go. It's
okay.
Great.
No, but Corey. Corey, there's like a an Italian custard place like right by my work.
See, you say custard, and I think Teletubbies, and I just...
No, it's
I
not
Tubby.
It's not Tubby custard. It's really good, actually. You gotta try it.
I just think, like, weird beige-colored poo coming out of robots. I don't need
that
in my
life.
No,
it's so good.
But on that, 38% of the internet said they would eat a worm for ice cream. 62% of the internet said, you know what, I'm probably lactose intolerant. But that's the situation on 89.9 KGRG-FM. You're listening to The Buzz, and we have your next chance for free Hot Fuzz tickets. That's coming up in just a few minutes during the news at 7:30. We also have your question of the day up. If you want to call in with your response or hit us up on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at TheBuzzKGRG, what's your go-to vacation, dealy doodad? That's the technical term, dealy doodad. We'll be back with the news in just a couple minutes. You're listening to The Buzz.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
This hour's news is brought to you by the Grand Cinema. And my thing is dying. And the Weird Elephant Film Series. This week's Weird Elephant feature is Hot Fuzz. So if you want free tickets, call 253-833-5004.
Excellent.
Again, make sure you follow them on Facebook as well, because they're doing that whole, like, scavenger hunt thing. And the clues are pretty intense. You have to kind of really know Washington, or Tacoma in particular, in order to, like, find it. And there were a lot of, like, really neat, like, little film tiddly bits they tossed in there, too. I am just all about those weird words this morning. But let's go ahead and hop into the news. First news story we have, for example, Bob the Builder robber arrested. I didn't even know this was a thing.
What?
But in Seattle, a robbery suspect the police called Bob the Builder for his construction worker outfit was arrested Wednesday near Georgetown. Police believe the suspect had robbed at least six businesses in the last month, including small grocery stores and pharmacies. In each robbery, he walked up to the cashier, demanded money, and was gone in minutes. Store employees told police they didn't see a weapon. And if you're a retail employee, I had to go through this training. I'm not sure if you have or not. If you're ever, like, robbed, whether or not you see a weapon, just hand them the money, man. It's not worth your life. And to be completely honest, your employer won't blame you for handing it over. Doesn't matter where you work. Your life is not worth the cash register, man. But it's always kind of funny when they do, like, the whatever nickname robbers, like the Bob the Builder robber or the...
I know.
You don't really get those anymore. Next news story. I'm just going to call this one Liar, Liar, or Lawyer, Lawyer, Pants on Fire, because a lawyer's pants burst into flames during an arson trial.
What?
A Miami attorney stunned the courtroom when his pants caught on fire during his client's arson trial. According to the Miami Herald, the defense lawyer Steven Gutierrez was in the middle of arguments when smoke began billowing out of his right pocket. Gutierrez ran from the courtroom, insisting it wasn't a stunt. He blamed an e-cigarette for sparking the flames. The newspaper reports officers took the e-cigarette batteries from the attorney as evidence. His client is accused of intentionally setting a car on fire and was convicted by a jury of second-degree arson. Like, that is just the absolute worst thing in the world to ever happen to you, like, as a lawyer, I could think. Like, an arson trial of all things? And just, you're in the middle of your arguments.
That's very ironic.
You're in the middle of your arguments, and boom, your pants are on fire. If I'm the, like, not the defense attorney, if I'm the plaintiff, I'm just like, yo, liar, liar over there, man. His pants are on fire. Get him.
Right, though? That's really ironic.
Ah, God. And I've been super paranoid about that stuff, too. Just, like, batteries exploding in general ever since, like, yeah, the Samsung phones that explode in your face.
Oh, my God.
I remember there were some iPhones that would burn, like the white ones would burn so hot that they turned pink and just, like, you have people with burns in their legs. I'm always paranoid about that stuff. Last news story we have for this hour. This one I actually just found not too long ago. What would you do if you saw a 65-year-old man marrying a 12-year-old girl?
Call the police!
Well, it happened in Times Square in New York. YouTube star Kobe Pearson created a social experiment designed to raise awareness about child braids all over the world. The legal age of marriage differs around the world. In some states, the age can be as low as 12 for girls and 14 for boys with parental consent. In the UK, it is 16. The age in Sudan is 10 under certain religions. The New Yorkers didn't stand for a child getting married to an older man, and neither should anywhere else should be okay with it. The setup was a part of a social experiment to raise awareness that in many places around the world, it is legal to marry kids of that age. YouTube star Kobe Pearson, 21, claims it's even legal in New York City, so he took it to Times Square and held a mock wedding. And it's, yeah, this really creepy 65-year-old dude and this very unhappy 12-year-old.
Not about it.
Neither am I. And that was actually a little bit of a conversation we had yesterday up here in the station after the show, was just, you get those dudes who were very creepily into younger women, and just like, at what point's too young? For example, in high school, it was really, really weird for a high schooler to be dating somebody in, like, middle school or junior high. Only exception was, like, if you're, like, a grade above them. And even then, it was borderline a little iffy. And then,
yeah.
Once you, like, graduate, sure, you're 18, you dated, like, 18-year-olds. But once you hit that 20-year-old mark, stick to people in their 20s. Like, that's just sort of been a general guideline. I remember there was one time where my dad actually dated a chick who was, actually closer to my age than she was to him. She was still, like, a couple years, like, quite a few years older. I think she was, like, 5 or 6 years older than I was, so not interested, but it was a little weird, not gonna lie.
Yeah. I don't know, people get weirded out, like, I think it just, the older you get, like, the less the age gap matters.
Yeah?
Like, in high school, like, dating someone, like, a grade above or below you, or, like, even, like, 2, was like, oh, man, like, what you doing there, homie? But then, like, I don't know, when you're, like, in your 20s, whatever, like, a few years here or there, like, doesn't really matter that much.
Like, Thursday just turned 21 last December. I'd been 21 for at least, I'm a couple years older than she is.
Yeah.
It was a little difficult sometimes trying to, like, go out to eat some places because,
yeah,
like, you go to a restaurant, most of the time the restaurant's full. I see the bar, I'm just like, oh, let's just go in. Oh, wait.
Just kidding, homie. I love you.
So, that sort of thing, those little social things make it a little awkward sometimes, but it was
like,
all right.
You can't, like, go out places.
There are certain shows you can't go to and stuff like that.
Yeah. So, and my boyfriend's, like, turning 30 this year, and then I'm turning 26. So, like, we've got a bit of an age gap.
It's about the same gap between me and Thursday, though.
Yeah.
Again, once you hit 20, I think that's where the age gap starts turning into years, because, like, you're that far. They're that much further away from, like,
I mean, plus you're, like, not in a setting where, like, you're literally going to only be, like, 4 years apart. Like, I don't know. Like, once you get, like, way older, like, I know people whose grandparents are, like, 10 years apart. So,
yeah, just don't be it. I'm gonna say is, if you're in your 20s, dude, there are those of you out there, stop dating that high schooler, man. That's a little weird. There are a lot of dudes out there who go out and, like, date high schoolers, and that's not okay.
Yeah, don't be that.
Don't be creepy. If they're still in high school, let them be in high school, and you go meet other people your age. But that was the news on 89.9 KGRG-FM. We'll be back with the six-pack after Pew 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 on 89.9 KGRG. You're listening to The Buzz, and we still have those Hot Fuzz tickets. It's going to be this Saturday. Call 253-833-5004 for those.
You're listening to KGRG 89.9 FM, today's rock. Now it's time to sit back, relax, and crack open a six-pack with The Buzz.
I'm locked off, let's sit back to my name.
89.9 KGRG FM. You're listening to The Buzz. That was Cashy and Karma under our skin. If you want to check out our interview with them or any of our past interviews, they're all up on KGRG.com. Click that. That's that podcast section. It's under the interview section there, so you can check all those out. We have our ones all the way back to like when we interviewed Burn, Burn, Burn. Like, those were like our first guests. So if you want to check any of that old stuff out, again, it's KGRG.com or the KGRG FM app. But let's go ahead and get into our six-pack, our top six list of things that are awesome, occasionally not so awesome. And depending on which end of this you were, it might have been awesome or it might not have been. We're going with the top six over-the-top ways people have taken revenge. And some of these situations are pretty messed up, man.
I'm scared.
So let's go ahead and open up number six with Katie's revenge. Katie Coleman was a 10-year-old when she disappeared. For 5 days, her family and the police looked everywhere for her, praying that that she would come back alive. When they finally found her, though, she was floating lifelessly down a creek. She had been abducted by a man named Anthony Ray Stockelman, who reportedly sexually assaulted her before murdering her and threw her body away. Stockelman was arrested and convicted, and most thought the story would end there. He would spend his time in prison, and the family would move on. Katie's cousin, Jared Harris, though, had no intentions of moving on, and he was in the perfect place to make Stockelman suffer. Jared was already in jail serving time on burglary charges. When Stockelman was moved into his prison, he jumped on the opportunity to get revenge. While the guards were distracted, Harris cornered Stockelman, his clutches, his right hand around his throat, and told him, "I'm either going to stick you and leave you bleeding, or I'm going to tattoo you."
Jeez.
A Stockelman, terrified for his life, stood there while Harris used a makeshift needle to tattoo a message into his forehead. For the rest of his life, Stockelman would have the words, quote, "Katie's Revenge" written on his head to ensure that every inmate who saw him knew he had murdered a 10-year-old girl.
Oh.
Yeah. He straight up just took this dude and tattooed on his forehead, like, on his forehead.
That's a lot.
It's intense, man. Number five in our top six over-the-top ways people have taken revenge, we have Alm Khan's 12-year wait for revenge. When Alm Khan was 12 years old, he watched his father get murdered before his eyes. His killer was Muhammad Riz, someone who they thought of as a family friend. Khan was devastated, but he was only a child. There was nothing he could have done for that time. For the next 12 years, Khan plotted before he took his revenge. Finally, when he was 24, he lured Muhammad Riz into his home, pretending that he needed a repairman. Once inside, Khan fed liquor to his father's killer until he was too drunk to move. He then played some music, turned it up as loud as he could go. He did not want anyone to hear his screams. Khan then stabbed Riz again and again until he stopped moving. Then he grabbed a hammer and a hacksaw and cut up his body. He chopped it up into 12 bits, one for each year that he had waited. Quote, "I had waited 12 years to realize my dreams," Khan told police when he confessed. He felt no remorse, he told them. He was just happy it was over. So 12 years. Like, talk about holding a grudge.
Yeah.
If I can remember all the things that happened to me 12 years ago and, like, even think about getting revenge on that, that'd be a lot. I mean, watching my dad getting murdered in front of me would be a completely different story and be, definitely traumatizing, but that's a 12-year grudge, man. That's intense.
Yeah, it's definitely whole buddy.
It kind of sounds a little bit like Hamlet to me for some reason, where, like, this dude murdered his dad, right? He took his dad's murderer, tricked him into coming in, and then murdered him himself. It's kind of like Hamlet, I think. I don't know, man. You're the play person.
I actually don't know Hamlet as well as I should.
Okay. Last one for this one. We're going to go number four before we go into part two. Sheriff Buford Pusser's Mob War.
Please say that name again.
Sheriff Buford Pusser. In 1966, Sheriff Pusser was responding to a burglary call when a suspect fired on him. Pusser was the better shot and gunned her down first, but this was no ordinary woman. She was the wife of Carl Douglas White, a local mob boss. By killing her, Pusser had insured a price on his head. White got his revenge a year later. He faked a call to police about a fight between two drunks, and Pusser came out to respond. Thinking it was not going to be a big deal, he brought his wife, Pauline, with him, a decision that would cost Pauline her life. When he made it to the scene, White's men drove up alongside Pusser's car and opened fire. The sheriff was riddled with bullets, but he still managed to pull through. Pauline, on the other hand, wasn't so lucky. She took the brunt of the gunfire and died that night. When Pusser recovered, he got a list of five names that were behind the attack. This time, though, the sheriff was not going to write it up. He had told his friends, quote, his own method of justice. What happened next is such a mix of secrets and legend that it is impossible to know for sure what is true. Over the next 5 years, though, every one of those names wound up dead in brutal, violent ways. White was the first one to go. He was found a year later in his motel, a bullet through his brain. It almost sounds like an action movie, almost like The Punisher, where like The Punisher was trying to hunt down the people who murdered his family. This guy, Sheriff Buford Pusser is on a track for revenge.
Oh my gosh.
He is going to hunt down the five mob bosses who've gunned down his wife. That's my best movie trailer voice. I'm sorry you had to hear that.
I'm scared.
That's part one of our six pack of the top six over the top ways people got their revenge. We'll have part two right after The Impression That I Get by the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones on 89.9 KGRG. You're listening to The Buzz.
And now, back to the six pack.
KGRG FM, KGRG FM HD1 Auburn, also broadcasting on K207 AP Seminole Lake Taps, 89.3 FM. You're listening to The Buzz, and we're in the middle of our six pack. Our top six list of things that are awesome and not too awesome. This morning, it really depends on which end of it you are. This morning, we're going over the top six over-the-top ways people have taken revenge. Part one included number six, Katie's Revenge, where Katie was unfortunately a murdered 10-year-old whose cousin took the law into his own hands, and he tattooed Katie's Revenge on the murderer's forehead. Number five was Am Khan, who waited 12 years to lure his father's murderer into his house, killed him, hit him with a hammer, and then chopped them up into 12 individual bits, and then confessed to police about it.
Hot damn.
Almost reminds me of Yzma, just...
With the hammer?
He called him into his house, murdered him, chopped him up in tiny bits, and hit him with a hammer.
That's totally Yzma.
And then number four was Sheriff Buford Pusser in his war on the mob.
I'm still dying at this guy's name.
His wife was murdered by the mob, so he took his revenge on five mob bosses. Each one murdered in the most brutal way possible. God, that hurts my throat. I can't do that anymore.
Then stop. Oh my god.
So that takes us to number three in our six pack of the top six over the top ways people have gotten their revenge with the mistress killer. Zhang Yufen runs an unusual business. Her clients are women whose husbands are having affairs, and they hire her for one reason. Zhang Yufen makes her living tracking down mistresses and beats them senseless. Before she became a mistress killer, she was married to a senior official in Zhenyan, China, until their marriage started to fall apart. As her husband became more powerful, he spent more and more nights out late partying with prostitutes and having affairs with other women.
Same.
In time, it fell apart altogether. Her husband came home and told her it was over. He had met someone else. He wanted a divorce. When she told her friends about it, one of Zhang Yufen's neighbors confided in her that her daughter was going through the same thing. The girl was suicidal, she said, because her husband had a mistress. Zhang Yufen planned to meet her and commiserate, but she did not make it in time. Before she could visit, the girl had taken her own life. When it happened to the third woman, Zhang Yufen got fed up. She was out on the town when she bumped into her friend's husband's mistress. Zhang Yufen, fed up with the homewreckers, threw the girl to the ground, stomped on her, and cursed her out. Oh. A crowd gathered, but nobody stopped her. The police officer presented simply told he, quote, did not see anything happen. Today, Zhang Yufeng does it professionally. For a nominal fee, she will track down any man's mistress and take their life, or make their life a living hell. Dirty deeds done dirt cheap.
I'm leaving.
Like, that entire song is just about this lady. I'd be terrified. I'm terrified now. Like,
yeah.
I'd almost, like, could you imagine if, like, you were accidentally wrongly identified by this lady? Like, she just sees you down the street, you make eye contact, she's just like, you! You get chased down by this little, like, little Asian lady, and she just beats the snot out of you. Oh my god, I am just absolutely mortified right now. That'd be terrible. I mean, these guys deserve it and a little bit more, but just... I couldn't imagine.
What's going on?
Like, watching this little Asian lady beat the snot out of somebody. Number two in our six pack of the top six ways. Oh, the top six over the top ways people have gotten their revenge. This one's a little less, like, murdery and brutal and, like, beating the snot out of other people.
Oh, okay.
It's mailboxes full of garbage.
All right.
When Shinita Mira was young, he was a Boy Scout in Tokyo. He was not particularly popular. The other boys in his troop bullied him and picked on him, and though he did not do much to fight back when he was young, he carried that rage with him his whole life. For 30 years, Mira let that resentment build. Then, finally, when he was 40 years old, he started to take his revenge. Mira filled mail envelopes with rotten tea leaves, dirt, and used underwear, and sent them to the boys that had bullied him as a child. He did not just do it once. He sent 500 packages full of garbage over the course of 14 months before they finally caught him. When Mira was arrested, he confessed that he had done, eager to make the police understand. These people deserved it, Mira told the police. After all, they called him names 30 years ago. That's a little much, man. Like, it was 30 years ago.
30 years, buddy? Like...
It was 30 years ago. Like, you gotta let it go. Especially names, like, kids are mean. And I understand bullying's a thing, and bullying's not cool. But growing up, I was called names, and, like, I called some other kids names, too, and it was a thing you did. I'm not justifying bullying. Bullying's obviously a bad thing, but you can't let that stuff get to you, man. It's part of growing up. It happens. So we're gonna go number one on our top six ways... The top six over the top ways people have gotten their revenge. Number one is the surprise machete attack. When an Indian man was caught sexually assaulting a 7-month-old baby by the child's own mother, he was sure that they would hate him forever. His crime was horrific and he deserved to pay, but to his surprise, the child's father said he did not want revenge. He had forgiven his child's attacker, the father said, and he only wanted to go on with his life. He agreed to a light settlement that practically let the sexual assaultist go free. And after it was signed, he even offered to drive him home. But on the way back to the village, the father stopped the vehicle suddenly. They were in the countryside, far away from the nearest home, where no one could hear them even if they screamed. Slowly, the rapist started to realize he was not going to get off as easily as he had thought. The father beat his child's rapist bloody, then dragged him over to a tree and tied him up. He left him there and headed back to the vehicle, but only to grab a machete. He was coming right back. He used a machete to hack the rapist's hands off and left him there to bleed out and die. Some villagers found the rapist out of the tree, screaming and covered in blood. They pulled him down and got him to the hospital in time to save his life, but he went through more pain than he would ever have felt in prison. So he let this dude live. He didn't even kill him when he attacked him with the machete. He just chopped his hands off and left him to die on this tree.
What happened to the dad, like the guy that did it?
It doesn't say. I mean, you can only assume, like, the police, like, obviously knew it was him because he gave the dude a ride home, but it was just this, it was the father and this other dude and nobody else around for miles. That's some intense stuff, like, say what you want, the scariest thing ever to me is just an angry parent. Whether it be like you often hear stories of like women being compared to like angry mother bears, where like they'll literally rip your head off.
Yeah.
Nothing scarier than an angry parent. But those were the top six over-the-top ways that people have gotten their revenge. I think the coolest one for me is Sheriff Buser. He sounds like a real-life Punisher. And I'm a comic book fan, so there you go. But we'll be back on 89.9 KGRGFM with your responses to our question of the day for what is your go-to vacation activity? We'll talk about that again at 8:20 after a little bit of the morning after. You're listening to The Buzz. No Sleep by Twin Atlantic on 89.9 KGRGFM. You're listening to The Buzz, and our question of the day for this morning was, what is your go-to vacation activity? Because I'm going on vacation. We have no show tomorrow morning, again, for all you regular listeners. So take some time, brush up on your past episodes. Go to KGRG.com or download that free KGRG FM app and listen to all of our stuff on demand. It's right there. I upload it every morning just for you. Well, my gift for you. So
you're welcome.
Open it in front of me. Do it. I'm just kidding. That sounds weird. But, yeah, vacation stuff. Because, personally, when I go on vacation, not the biggest beach person. Like, I'm not the biggest outdoor person in general. Very rarely will I actually, like, go on a hike, or if I'm going, like, when I went to Charleston. Charleston's a beach town. You gotta go to the beach and hang out there. And the water was just amazing, 80 degrees, all that fun stuff. So if you're going to a beach town, you have to go to the beach. I prefer to take naps on the beach or, like, go swimming, but I know that there are people out there who like building, like, sandcastles and stuff or, like, playing volleyball. But I'm either swimming or I'm taking a nap. Those are my two there. But I prefer to hang out in town if there is one. Downtown Charleston is super just historical and what goes on there. When I go to Portland, downtown Portland's just beautiful. It's amazing. You have tax-free shopping. It's kind of like it's got a very Seattle feel to it, just a little bit more friendly. Like, you get less of that Seattle cold shoulder, Seattle freeze. Some of my other favorite vacations was when I went to San Francisco.
Because oh, yeah.
Not exactly the most historical town in the world, but again, just beautiful shopping everywhere. You have Chinatown, you have Little Italy. It's amazing. I love it.
I'm kind of on the same boat as you, like, just, like, doing what, like, the local people would do, like, just going out and, like, hanging out in the city or whatever. When I went to Texas, we went to, like, a few different places, but we spent, like, the day in San Antonio, and, like, San Antonio is, like, really pretty. Like, we did, like, the river walk and stuff, and, like, there's, like, a bunch of museums that we went to. Like, it was just a lot of fun. Went to the Alamo.
And sometimes it's fun just to get lost in a town. That's what my brother and I did when we went to Charleston. We did a tour. We did this whole, like, it was this horse-drawn carriage tour where, like, you sat in this carriage with a bunch of other people.
How romantic.
And the tour guide was like, oh, yeah, over there, that person so-and-so died, and, like, these houses are neat. It was cool seeing the city that way and having a, like, narrated tour. But just wandering around somewhere and getting lost and finding some really cool stuff was really awesome. We found this place that, during the Civil War, was used to store gunpowder. And now they turned into, like, a gun museum. It was really, really cool, and we wandered
in
there.
That's awesome.
And just, you end up with some really neat stories. You also find some restaurants that otherwise, like, they're super tourist trap-y restaurants, I guess you'd call them. But yeah. Then they're those, like, local-only places, and those places are always better.
For sure.
Something I like to do when I go to Ocean Shores up here in Washington is, I like doing the, like, little vehicle, like, renting a vehicle, whether it's, like, one of those bicycle things where you lay down and you steer, like, by wiggling your butt. Do you know?
I don't know what that is.
It's like a hammock. So, like, you lay down in
what?
This hammock and you pedal this bike. And in the turn, you lean. And, like, yeah, you sort of have to, like, lean with your butt a little bit because you're in a hammock. It's a ton of fun.
That's weird.
And, like, you can take them on the beach, and it's great. Or, I remember as soon as I turned 16, man, I was like, dude, I'm getting a moped. I'm riding around on the moped.
All right. You do you.
the other thing I like about cities more is you have that nightlife. Beach town nightlife is also super fun because you always have like bonfires and stuff.
Yeah.
And that's the only reason I like camping is the bonfires. Especially once like I got old enough to drink.
Okay, drinking in the forest is like the best part of camping.
Yeah, and I may have started drinking in the forest a little earlier than I legally should have, but yeah, it was like that's the only reason I like going camping. Other than that, I like not having access to a shower if you get gross, because you will get gross, is no fun. Sleeping on the ground, that's no fun. Like, building a tent and hanging out, that's always fun. But, like, if it's super hot outside, too, and you just wake up and you're drenched in sweat and you can't shower, you basically have to walk into the river, which isn't much cleaner. It's no fun. Yeah, I'll go on, like, small camping trips. Like, I'll go out in the forest or, like, to an actual camping ground and do that for a little bit, but I'm not like my roommate Josh. Every summer, him and my coworker Greg, they'll go on a hiking camping trip, like one of those like backpacking camping trips it takes days. That's not fun.
See, I like getting drunk on my patio, but
like wander around in the woods for days? That's not fun at all. Who thinks that's fun? That's tiring. That's exercise.
That's
man.
Just like before you get rescued by a search and rescue crew.
So, yeah, stick me in, like, the middle of a town any day. I'd much rather do that.
I like toilet paper and a toilet to poop on. Like, let me be in a place with plumbing.
Right? Because that's the other thing about camping. Like, luckily, as a dude, I can just sort of do my business standing up or do it wherever I want. But, yeah, plumbing's also a really nice thing.
Uh-huh. Plumbing. It's what you need, kids.
But that was our reaction to our question of the day. There we go. What is your go-to vacation activity? Do you prefer to be in the city like Danik and I? Do you prefer camping? Are you one of those weird people who does like the multi-day backpacking experience? You can call us at 253-833-5004. Hit us up on Twitter, on Facebook, and on Instagram at TheBuzzKGRG, all the same. We'll be back with the news after Andrew Jackson Jihad. Hate rained down on me. You're listening to The Buzz.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
This hour's news is brought to you by the Grand Cinema and the Weird Elephant Film Series. This week's Weird Elephant film is Hot Fuzz. So if you want free tickets, call 253-833-5004.
I'm so sorry that started off so weird. I have done a lot of drugs today.
Somebody didn't turn my mic on.
Hey man, that energy drink is kicking in and I finished it. And I gotta hop on a train later and I'm going to be heavily quote-unquote medicated when I do.
Ooh.
Like, I am getting lit before I hop on that train. And hopefully I don't get belligerent. But the one thing that's gonna save that train ride for me is that whole, like, downloading things on Netflix.
Yes.
Oh my god. I told Thursday, man, like, hey, today when you wake up, do some laundry so we can pack some clean clothes when we go visit the grandparents, because she's met my grandpa. This is her first time meeting my grandma. But,
happy.
I'm like, yo, download some videos. Because otherwise that train ride's gonna suck. No signal, nothing.
Oh god.
So that train ride's gonna be fun. But let's go ahead and get into some news. Going along the theme of people just going crazy and beating the snot out of other people.
White girls gone crazy. Sorry.
There's a lady who had a bad morning, unfortunately.
Oh, no.
And she decided to throw her coffee after a spat in the Dunkin' Donuts.
Okay.
In Fort Walton Beach, one Dunkin' Donuts customer was in dire need of a pick-me-up Tuesday morning. According to an incident report from Fort Walton Beach Police Department, an officer was called to the store around 5:30 a.m. after an irate customer stormed inside, threw her beverage into a cash register after getting into a verbal fight with an employee in the drive-thru. The general manager of the store, located on Mary Esther Cutoff, said the female customer became angry when she asked for a specific flavor of iced coffee that wasn't sold at Dunkin' Donuts. Quote, it's probably something that's served at Starbucks, said Bryce, who declined to give a last name. The conversation got heated, and she came into the store, got into my face, throwing F-bombs. The customer then came inside the store, went behind the counter, and threw her beverage onto the drive-thru cash register. The report said the responding police officer observed the surveillance footage of the customer, confirmed the story. Managers were assessing on how to record the footage to submit an evidence, according to the report. I feel so bad for that guy in the drive-thru, man. Drive-thrus are rough. And I've done that as a prank where I've ordered something off the menu. Some friends and I got a little inebriated. And our sober friend, he was our DD, he took us through McDonald's. So my friends and I thought it'd be hilarious that while we were in the McDonald's parking lot, or drive-thru, that we would ask for a Whopper. And they were very,
jeez,
like,
you
they
guys.
Played along, they played along with it for a minute. They're like, sir, that's only at a Burger King. So we're just like, all right, can we get a Whopper Jr. then? Sir, that's only at Burger King. Can we get a Chalupa? Taco Bell, sir. And eventually they got irritated, so I feel.
I would have been so irritated.
My little brother also did a McDonald's drive-thru. In fact, he worked at that McDonald's that we pranked, and yeah, he had some horror stories. There were actually a couple of times where people tried to prank him, so he kept little cups of water. And as they came through the drive-thru, if they were being, you know, jerks or whatever, he'd take that cup of water and he'd throw it in that person's car. Like, at the driver.
Oh my god.
He didn't get fired.
Once I was pushing my little brother in a stroller when he was a baby, and at the time, like, his mom worked at Taco Bell, so I just walked through the drive-thru.
Oh.
I was like, I'm hungry, but I don't have any money, and they just gave me a tomato.
Next new story we have, it's a little town in Canada that's gonna start having to call Ghostbusters because their tap water has suddenly turned bright pink.
I saw that.
You may have never heard of Onaway, Alberta, a snoozy town with a population of just 1,029 Canadians. It does have a Wikipedia page which notes that every June, Onaway has a fair weekend and that a new high school is in the process of being built. It also has pink tap water. According to the mayor, this is not a normal occurrence. This alarming hue is due to an unfortunate side effect of a common water treatment chemical named potassium permanganate, normally used to extract smelly and dangerous hydrogen sulfate from the water. A valve malfunction caused it to escape into the main water supply. Although it can cause some skin irritation, there's little else it can do except convince people seeing it gush forth from their taps that they've been experimenting with hallucinogenic substances without knowing.
Oh.
The problem is currently being sorted, so don't expect to head over there anytime soon and see unfortunate magic is still happening.
What a fun time.
But it definitely looks like, you know, the pink goo from the second Ghostbusters movie? Like when they're in the sewer and testing out all the goo?
I've never seen the second one. I'm sorry.
I died. I'm dead. Sorry. I'm done.
Okay.
That's what
bye.
You're doing tomorrow instead of the show. You're watching Ghostbusters 2.
Okay.
And I'm gonna warn you now, it's not the best Ghostbusters movie, but
that's why I haven't watched it.
It's better than the most recent one.
I haven't seen that either.
Me either. Last news story we have for you this morning. A Chicago woman charged with murder in case of man forced to drink bleach. A Chicago woman has been charged with first-degree murder in the death of her boyfriend, who police say she was forced to drink bleach during a fight.
Oh my god.
Dude,
how can a lady force you to drink something? Like,
well, the Chicago Tribune reports that 24-year-old Yasmin Elder was charged Wednesday in the death of 26-year-old Darius Ellis. Police say Elder and Ellis were fighting on Monday in a parked van where Elder overpowered the man and forced him to drink bleach. Ellis was found by police lying on the ground and was taken to a hospital where he was pronounced dead. Cook County Medical Examiner's Office spokeswoman Becky Schlickelman says an autopsy Tuesday determined his death was homicide caused by ingestion of bleach.
Jesus.
So it sounds like he was driving and she told him to pull over and like did it that way. So like held him against the seat and forced him to drink that way. Oh my god. I couldn't imagine. And I know Christian, he called in yesterday from Chicago. Chicago's a scary place.
Yeah.
He said he saw his first drive-by there yesterday, so stay safe, buddy. Don't date women from Chicago. Stay out of the drive-by area. Just keep your head down and stay safe. I honestly hope he's okay. We haven't heard from him this morning.
You dead friend?
I hope not. Because he's a fun dude.
Please call us and let us know you're alive.
Number's 253-833-5004. Even if you're not Christian, you can still call and let us know you're alive. It's okay.
Yeah, it's cool.
We like to know people are okay sometimes. But that was your news on 89.9 KGRG-FM. We still have a couple pairs of Hot Fuzz tickets left. You want one of them? That phone number is 253-833-5004. You can also hit us up on Twitter, on Facebook, and on Instagram at TheBuzzKGRG. Stay tuned. We got the thrilling conclusion of this episode of The Buzz.
Ooh.
After I Want to Die in Los Angeles by Dead to Me on 89.9 KGRG-FM. Today's rock. Hot Topic is not punk rock by MC Lars on 89.9 KGRG-FM.
I mean, it's not.
Right, though? And he's actually on tour right now with a band from Idaho. You'd call him local, it's Pacific Northwest. You might know him by Big O.
Big O's freaking great, and yeah. I'll fight all of you.
They're on tour right now. They're on the East Coast. I think they just left Philadelphia. So if you haven't already, follow Big O on Instagram, follow him on Twitter. I know that Mike has an interview with him on KGRG.com, which is where you can find all of our past episodes, as well as the official KGRG-FM app. So if you missed any part of this one, just head there. As well as, because we're not going to be on the air tomorrow, just listen to that. Like, wake up at 6 a.m. Most episodes are an hour and a half long, so listen to a couple of those, and we'll get you through the morning, right?
Yeah.
But remember, no show tomorrow morning, so enjoy today's rock. So, I guess until Wednesday morning, bright and early, 6 a.m., this has been The Buzz on 89.9 KGRG-FM. We're going to do something a little special.
Oh.
For those of you who don't know, Biggie Smalls, a.k.a. Notorious B.I.G., he actually died today 20 years ago.
Oh.
So we're going to close the show out with Juicy by
yes!
the Notorious B.I.G. on 89.9
yes!
KGRG. You're listening to The Buzz.